Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise your name for all, hallelujah, of your mercies. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And we thank you because you selected us. We did not choose you, but you chose us to be a part of you. And we give you the praise and glory, Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord himself is looking for true worshipers, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us through this message and help us to understand all that. And we ask that the Spirit of God will draw us closer to you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning, I'm going to be speaking on worship, a new and living way. So I'm going to talk on that, hopefully not very long. Worship, a new and living way. I'm going to tell you what that means in a little bit in this message, and hopefully the Lord will reveal it to you, and this will change your life concerning what the Lord is looking for. I'm going to start here in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to start at verse 19, reading through verse 25. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider, that's right, he is faithful that promise. Amen?
Amen.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now this text, I read through it very quickly, but this text that I've just described describes worship. A new and living way. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And I'm going to come back and refer to this verse in a few minutes and then explain it. But first, I want to say that, let me say what worship is not. Yeah, then we'll say what it is, you know. So, the way I'm going to say what worship is not, I'm going to say it in a way that this is not the only thing that worship is. You know, it's a part of worship, what I'm going to say now, but it's not the only thing. Now, that's singing songs. You know, some people think that when you sing songs of quote-unquote worship or songs of praise or whatever, then that's worship. Well, that's a part of worship. That's not the exclusive definition of worship. And we're going to find out in a minute why not. And some people think that worship, you know, because we call this Sunday service, we call it our worship service. You know, so others think that when you come to church on Sundays and you spend an hour or two in service, and 1 hour of that is used in a worship segment, then some people think that that's what worship is all about. Well, that is, again, part of worship. That's not all that worship is. You know, and we're going to explain all of that this morning. I want to, for you to understand that, turn with me to John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24. You know, this is what Jesus had to say. He said, look, the hour is coming. John chapter 4 verse 23. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. And he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, if God is looking for true worshipers, you know, I dare say that God is not looking only for 1 hour a week. Hello, folks. So if we think that worship is 1 hour a week, then what about the rest of the week? Is God only looking for 1 hour a week worship when we come to church? No. And I'm going to explain that today. You know. So, now, what God is looking for is a new... That's why Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is... Actually, Jesus instituted this new worship. In the olden days, and I don't have to, I want to keep this message short, so I'm going to skip a lot of the references that I wanted to put here. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, they bow down, they worship, and so forth like that. You know, and if they want to worship, they bow down and all that, you know, and so on. You know, and they thought that just by their bowing down, their worship, and so forth. Look, they are bowing down, and their worship, which is great, you know, did not change their sin nature. Because they only did it once in a while. Are you still with me, folks? Amen. You know, they didn't say, okay, you know, we go into the house of the Lord, we're going to bow down, and we're going to worship the Lord. All right. But then they leave from there, and then go about the rest of their days living their secular, sinful lives. And that didn't do it. So Jesus came and said, look, you know, I'm going to change all that. What God is looking for now is true worshipers. Amen? Amen, folks? In fact, you know, the woman he was talking to there, you know, she went on to say, well, you know, we worship God in this mountain and so forth like that. And Jesus said, look, you know, the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshippers of God shall neither worship God in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem or any place like that. But it is a way of life. Amen. Praise God. And that's what I want to talk about today. This new and living way, which is the way that Jesus wants us and is telling us to worship God now. Praise God. Listen to verse 21. John chapter 4, verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. You know, I mean, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, and so he went on to explain. That's where the discussion started, because the woman, after he revealed some things about her life, said, well, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then went on to say some things. And then he told her some other things. And then she said, well, she was trying to be religious. Said, well, we worship God over in this mountain. And Jesus said, look, forget the mountain. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I want to say to you folks, those of you that think that you come into the house of the Lord to worship God, like this woman, say, well, we go into the mountain of the house of the Lord to worship the Lord. And Jesus said to her, the hour is coming. And I want to say to you folks, that not this was, God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. Hello, folks. You know, God does not, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this building? So if you think you're going to come here on Sunday and spend 1 hour, lift up your hands and do whatever, and say, well, I've worshipped the Lord and that's it. Well, you've got another thing coming, because Jesus said, neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, and he was pointing to the mountain of the house of the Lord, neither this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, nor anywhere. You know, are you going to gather together and say, no, this? Now, that's not saying that you shouldn't come into the house of the Lord. That's why I read that scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 that said, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Because some people say, well, then I don't need to go to church. I just need to sit down in my home and worship. No, I'm going to explain to you the various parts of worship. There is also corporate worship. That's what we do when we come into the house of the Lord together. Now, but before we can do corporate worship, you must already be a worshiper. Folks, I'm going to tell you that the reason why most people are distracted, and I'm in the back most of the time during the service, I'm looking at people, you know, Most people are distracted during our praise and worship set. You know. Because, you see, unless you are a true worshiper, you cannot connect in the corporate worship. See, the corporate worship is not working because everybody is not a true worshiper. That's why this house has not yet been filled with the glory of God. That's why I can still stand here and be talking to you. When everybody in this room becomes a true worshiper, when you connect with the Holy Ghost yourself, when you know, and when you come into the service, you don't care what nobody is doing. When you can connect, because you've already connected before you came here. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
If you're waiting to come into church before you connect, well, what's going to happen is, you know, I've got a battery that's charged. And there's 50, 60, 700, you know, 70, 100 batteries that need to be charged from this one battery. Before you're over, this battery will be drained. Hello, folks. Every battery needs to be already charged.
Hallelujah.
That when you put those batteries together, there's going to be an electric fusion.
Yes, yes.
You want to see the glory of God? You become a true worshiper.
Yes.
You cannot connect in corporate worship unless you are a personal worshiper. I'm going to leave that there and then go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to show you the elements that are in this worship that we're talking about. And I want to show you that worship is a way of life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Not just 1 hour of going to the mountain of the house of the Lord, or 1 hour of going to Jerusalem, or whatever. You know, in those days, they waited, you know, 3 times of the year to go to Jerusalem, you know, and so forth like that. You know, is that what God is looking for? God wants you every day and every moment of your life. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 10, the text that we read, I want to show you some of the elements that are in this text so that you can see what real worship is all about. There are various elements in this text. The first thing that we learn in Hebrews 10:19 is that we have boldness now to enter through the veil. In the olden days, it was only the high priest. And everybody else that wanted to go in there, God would slay them. They didn't even, couldn't get, even the regular priests couldn't do it. You know. Jesus came and shed his blood. And when he hung upon the cross, in Matthew chapter 27, we are told that the veil of the temple rent in twain. Signifying that, forget about all that. Everybody now, you know, that loves the Lord and commit their life to true worship, can now proceed to enter into the veil. Amen?
Amen.
You can proceed directly.
Yes.
Now, that's what this first verse is saying.
Wow.
Now, it is called a new and living way because it is a way of life.
Yeah.
It is not just an hour a week. It is a way of life. Amen?
Amen?
This is the new thing that Jesus has instituted. And he's made it possible through the shedding of his blood. He now says that true worshippers can enter into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah! You don't need a priest, pastor, or anybody, you know, to take you into the veil and to the Holy of Holies. You enter by your worship. And that's not only at 10 o'clock on Sundays. That is every day of your life. Amen? Praise God. But we have a high priest over the house of God. This also shows you that, you know, there's a connection. You know, there's a role that priests play. What are the roles that priests play? You know, the priests play the role to lead people in worship. That's right. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that you are a chosen generation. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And you are, above all, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 9. A royal priesthood. That means you are priests. You are also from the line of the king. Amen. Made us kings and priests. But he has chosen us, 1 Peter 2 9 says, he has chosen us to show forth his praises. Amen. That is what this new generation, this is what this new priesthood does. It's not about making sacrifice for sin and all these things anymore. It's now worship. Hallelujah. Show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's a life of worship. You are a generation of priests, not only when you come to church. Amen, folks. Every one of you that has given your life to the Lord, received the Holy Ghost, you are a royal priest. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because God wants to dwell in you. Amen. And when you begin to offer sacrifices of praise and worship in your life, and when you begin to order your steps aright every day of your life, that's a praise unto the Lord. And that invites the Holy Spirit into your life to walk with you day by day. Amen. You know, and He said, look, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So He goes with faith as well. So you see that this is a complete picture of what our life should be. You know, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Get rid of all that evil conscience. Have your bodies washed with pure water of the Word of God. You know, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Amen. I guarantee you, I tell you something, folks. Enoch was a worshiper. Many things were not written about this man. But in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, we are told that Enoch walked with God. And he was not. Because God took him. I tell you what, God wasn't just taking everybody. He was looking for somebody that knew how to enter into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah, somebody. This Enoch, of course he had faith, but I tell you what, this Enoch walked in a life of worship. He walked with God. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, this man was agreed with God. He was in unison with God. And every day, his life was a day of worship. And he kept getting closer to that light. He kept pressing toward that light. He kept pressing toward that light. And one day, he was transformed into light. Hallelujah. That's how you get translated, folks. You got to become completely light. When every trace of darkness is expunged from the church, and they are transformed into light, they'll be gone. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. That's it. I tell you, folks, that's the way it is. You know, but I tell you, this man, he walked with God, and he had power. And he went in a burst of light. Amen. Amen, folks. Until this day, he is not dead. Hallelujah. Paul, he was testifying before Governor Felix. Felix was a Roman governor of Judea at that time. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, Paul said, after the way that is called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now you think Paul was talking about one day going to the synagogue of worship? No. He said, look, this is the way. See, this is my way of life. Worship is what you do, who you are. That's the life you live. Amen. You know, he said, look, and I believe all things that are in the scriptures. Now that's true worship. Amen. When you worship, when you are a true worshiper, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I can go deeper on that, but I'm going to leave it there for the sake of time. You know, so Jesus and Paul here, they're showing us that worship is not just something you do once a week. Worship is a way of life. Now, you are either worshiping God, or worshiping the God of forces, or the God of this world, or some people the God of money, the God of power, the pursuit of this and that and so forth. You know, any object of worship is a God with a small g. Amen? And there have been many gods with small g's and many lords with small l. But unto us there is but one God and one Lord. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's not a hand clap that the Lord deserves. Thank you, Jesus. I am God alone, and there is none else. To whom will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? I called the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. I declare the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I want to challenge anybody in here or in the world that will stand and say, I can do all things. Anything I say will go. You can't do it. Only God can do that. Hallelujah. Now, when your life comes into Christ, you know, God begins to give you a portion of himself. And you begin to look like him. And all of a sudden, you find that you yourself, you can begin to do all things. Amen. A generation of God kind is what God wanted, not mankind. Yes. Didn't care about that stuff. You know, it was sin that turned them into mere humans. God wanted to reproduce himself in man. Let us make man in our image. Make man like God. Amen. Now, this new and living way, when you enter into those paths of righteousness, when you begin to connect with the Spirit of God on a daily basis, I'm not talking about church. When you begin to connect, then you begin to move closer into that nature of Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's what God is looking for. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not just 1 hour on Sunday, but a way of life constantly. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. All the time. Amen. Praise God. And how do you do it? Look at verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. He says, be not conformed to this world. See, this world is against the knowledge of God. They are contrary to the things of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. One of these days, I'm going to preach on the mind of Christ. You know, we're not talking of emotions. We're talking about mind. Amen. The mind of Christ, not the emotions of Christ. The mind of Christ. Some people worship God with their emotions. Well, that's okay, because the soul is where emotions are. But no, God wants your whole body, soul, and spirit in this verse. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. That's right. You know, and so when you're worshiping God, when you're a true worshiper, sometimes emotions will come in and you'll be flooded with tears. I was flooded this morning when I was listening to some of the songs. Tears were just running down my eyes. But that's my emotions, connecting with God, and so forth like that. But beyond that, you know, worship is a way of life. Praise God. Praise God, somebody. You know, I want to tell you folks that when every one of us can connect in worship, here is what is going to happen. When we can all connect. Now listen, folks, I've already told it to you, that you cannot, you know, bring yourself into corporate worship if you are not an individual worshiper. You just come into the service and you'll be looking around, you'll be fidgeting, you'll be remembering the text that you didn't respond to, the assignment you need to submit, the thing that your husband said yesterday to piss you off, and, you know, and this and that. That's all you'll be remembering during the time of worship. Because you are not an individual worshiper. But when you are an individual worshiper, the moment you come in here with other worshippers, something is going to ignite. Hallelujah, folks. I am looking for worshippers in this church. Well, God is looking, really, not me. I'm just his spokesperson this morning. Amen? Amen, somebody? Now, listen to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I preached on this message once before. A couple of years ago, I preached on the message, and I preached on united praise. That's perfect praise. United worship and so forth. It's on our website. But 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 11. Now, paraphrasing this story for you, of course, the dedication of the temple under Solomon's time. But I'm not going to read all that. I'm just going to read from verse 11 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And it came to pass, see, when the priests were come out of the holy place, see, only the priests went in those days. And the high priest himself went into another place that was even holier than the ones that the general priests went to. And he did that only once a year, with blood. But when the priests came out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. At that time, they all waited on the Lord together. It wasn't one by one. It wasn't, okay, you go in first and then I come in. They did it all together. That's what it means, that they did not wait by course. They went together, And also the Levites, which were the singers. Hallelujah. That's why we have, the praise team. That's why we have people who are gifted in instruments. And David commanded that people should praise the Lord with instruments. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. Praise the Lord with all instruments. Praise the Lord with the string instrument. Praise the Lord with the tambourine and the timbrel and dance. Hallelujah, folks. Praise God. He said all these things. So when all of these people came together, and a man, those children of Asaph, they could sing. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, And Heman and Jeduthun and all of their sons, their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals, that's tambourines, and psalteries and harps, they stood in the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests. My goodness. There's a message in that by itself, but I'm not going to go into that. 120 priests with, sounding trumpets. It came even to pass when all these people, were like that and so forth. When all the trumpeters and singers were as one. Hallelujah, folks. Nobody thinking about the lunch they're going to have. Nobody thinking about what they did yesterday or what they're going to do after church. Nobody thinking about all of that. These people connected in worship. And when all of them were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music. And when they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. When they began to praise the Lord. Look, folks, I tell you something. In the Old Testament, David would say, now bless the Lord your God. And when they said that, they would say, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. That is one of the greatest blessings you can give to the Lord, to say that the Lord is good. And that his mercy endureth forever. Because it is of the Lord's mercy that you are here today. For by strength shall no man prevail. Without the mercy of the Lord, you will not be sitting down here today. For I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, saith the Lord. And I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. That is the Lord's prerogative. But we are instruments of mercy. We are vessels of mercy. We have received this mercy. So we ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. When all the singers and all the musicians and the entire congregation were as one. Now, sometimes the church, they're just looking at the praise team as if they are performing a concert. Praise team is doing their thing. Everybody is doing their thing. Children are running around and everybody is doing this and so forth. Well, that's not going to work. When everybody became as one. The Bible says, when all of that was all one, and they began to say the Lord is good, and they began to worship the beauty of holiness, the Bible says that then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Hallelujah, somebody. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord, he said it second time. See, so that even the priests, they could not, see, you can't stand shoulder to shoulder with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got to step aside and let the Holy Ghost do his thing. Praise God. One of these days, amen, in this church, when we can get it right, you will see this phenomenon that I'm reading here today. Because I've seen it before when I was a young man. You know, many, many years ago, in the place where I was. But one of these days, you're going to see this phenomenon where we can get it all together. That even the ministers, the priests, could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Folks, I tell you something. Before we can experience this, before we can experience something like this, you know, we need to be individual worshipers. But what God wants to give us, what they saw here, was just a shadow of things to come. That temple and all that stuff, it was just a shadow. God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. Amen? God dwells in a different kind of building. The Bible says, ye are God's husbandry and his building. I will build my church. You know, there is a different kind of building. It's not made with bricks. Not made with bricks and walls and windows like that. It's made with the souls of men that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That is the building that Jesus is building. And if he can get every one of those people in that building to become lively stones, who are individual worshippers, if he can get them to come together, it will become a building that is fitly framed together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. That's what God is looking for. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. I lay a way of worship. A new and living way. Not just on Sundays. Not just on whenever we have, you know, church service. But every day of your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Whether you are at church and church like this, church service like this, is just for other individual lively stones to get together. And when those lively stones can get together, then there's going to be a spiritual bonfire. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
That's right. God is going to break out. Hallelujah. Now, the Father is looking for true worshipers in the house here this morning. Praise God. I'm going to ask the praise team, come on back up. There's one more song that I want us to do. And when we do this song, I don't want to see anybody drifting around, looking back. You do what the song says. And let's practice worship. Everything we do for the Lord, we have to practice. You've got to practice. You've got to practice worship. You've got to practice, you know, the things of God. Praise God. Praise God, folks. You say, what do you mean by practice? Well, that means you got to put time into it. You know, look. Why did God choose David's stone to set upon? Because David was a man that was after God's heart. And even throughout the millennium, David, why? I tell you, folks, something. When you surround the throne of David, you're all going to be singing. Amen. That's why God chose that throne, because he knows that David's going to get some worshipers. Amen. And one time David, when the ark was coming home, he looked at the ark, he said, my lambs, the ark is coming back home. He took off his robe. He threw away his crown and all his kingly garments. Away with that. This is the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he began to get down. He began to praise the name of the Lord. He began to sing the glory and shout the beauty of holiness. You know, and his young wife looked at him and said, how glorious was the king of, you know, Israel today? Debasing yourself like that in the streets? Making a fool of yourself? And David said, a fool of myself? This was before the Lord. Amen. and you haven't seen anything yet. I will debase myself even more. Because I was a nobody. I was keeping the sheep. I was a nobody person. And the Lord picked me over your father's house. Hallelujah. He told her. The Lord picked me. Say, where was your father's house? When the Lord chose me. You know, when the Lord wrenched the kingdom from him and gave it to me. Therefore will I bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And some of you in here this morning, you are nothing. You are a nobody. And God has lifted you up. God has made you somebody. And he is still lifting you up. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Now I want you to be here next Sunday. And hear something that the Lord is going to say to you. Because I had to cut this message short. I'm going to preach something for you next Sunday. God is not done with you yet. He's been lifting you from the miry clay. He's put your feet on the solid rock. And he's put a song in your mouth to sing. Then why do you keep silent? Why do you not praise the name of the Lord? Why do you not let your life be a praise unto the Lord? The praise team will sing, bow down and worship. And I want you to do what this song says. When they sing this song, I want everybody in this auditorium to bow down and worship the Lord. Because I tell you something, folks. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says the 24 elders, they cast down their crowns before the Lord and they worshiped. All your achievements, they are nothing before the Lord. I want you to cast your crowns down tonight. This morning. And worship the Lord. The Bible says they cast down their crowns. And they worship. In the book of Revelation chapter 4. As the praise team sings, bow down. And worship. Enter into the Holy of Holies. I want everybody come forward if you will. Come out before your seat. From out of your seats. Those seats sometimes are a hindrance. Come out and join us here and bow down and worship. Lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Lifting up hands is also a sign of surrender to the Lord. And this is consecration weekend, folks. This is the real meaning of consecration. To come into his presence, to put your life again at the cross. It was the cross, folks. It was a bloody cross. Without the blood of Jesus, we cannot enter in. He consecrated a new and living way for us through his blood into the Holy of Holies. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, with our hands lifted up this morning, may our lives, even our body, as the Bible commanded us, present your bodies a living sacrifice. May our bodies be a holy ground. A holy ground for the Holy Spirit to reside in Jesus' mighty name. And may we become those lively stones which the Lord is looking for. The lively stones by which he is going to put together a spiritual habitation for the Spirit of God. Lord, let each individual life here today be such a place. The place that you have chosen to put your name there in the mighty name of Jesus. And let this weekend of consecration, let the effect of this service go with us throughout the week, throughout the days of our life, that we may remember that worship is a way of life, that God is looking for true worshipers. So help us in Jesus' name. And everybody says, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you.